Okay, so hello and welcome. This is the Alex and Nick podcast.
I prefer Nick and Alex podcast.
The Alex and Nick podcast. So basically, we've been talking a lot. The Oscars are coming up. They're tomorrow. And
First one, before we get into that, this is Alex. He sounds like this.
Yeah, hi there. I'm Alex. And this is Nick.
Hello, I am Nick. I sound like this.
Okay, so you bear that in mind. So, the Oscars are coming up tomorrow, and we've been talking about it a lot in the last week. And so we thought we basically, you know, because we're self-indulgent, vain people, we thought we'd record it. And
just so we have... probably borderline narcissism.
Yeah, you know, but you know, what are you going to do? We have smooth English accents. Okay, yeah, so, you know, this is why we started. This is our excuse for starting it. So, shall we press on?
Okay, so, I mean, you can use the internet. You can find your own list of the actual nominees for the Best Picture. But I think the big ones have got to be The Artist, War Horse, and Extremely Loud and Incredible Ghosts.
I think they're the interesting ones to talk about.
I'd say those are the three most likely to get to win.
That's interesting. I would disagree, but to kind of just to start off, I think we're both safely saying that we expect The Artist to win.
Oh yeah.
I think, you know, the promotion push for it has been incredibly slick.
I think everyone felt so cultured when they went to see it. Mm. And, yeah, it was sort of... I mean, it was a very enjoyable film.
It's a good film.
It wouldn't be a travesty if it won.
Oh, no. I you know, looking at the nominees, we'll talk about this a bit in a minute, but I think it's one of the stronger films on the list. We both believe The Artist will win. If it doesn't, I think everyone will be very surprised.
Yeah.
I doubt there are many people who are kind of saying, well, you know, The Help's got a good shot or something like that.
Next best chance would be War Horse, in my opinion.
I think you can make a case for just because Spielberg is such a big name.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, the Academy, they love their kind of gritty war films, although Saving Private Ryan didn't win. But, you know, maybe they'll make up for that because, you know, Scorsese, there was the whole thing about The Departed winning because people felt like he'd been cheated with things like Raging Bull and films like that.
Yeah.
and they were trying to reward him for past achievements. So maybe, you know, I think it's unlikely. I'd be very surprised if War Horse won. But just to kind of move on with that, who do you think should win? If all any of the films could win, if they all had an equal shot, which do you think deserves to win the most?
I would still say The Artist.
Say The Artist.
I haven't seen many of the others. But, I mean, just from what I've heard on the films.
Neither of us have seen Hugo.
No.
And neither of us have seen Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. So that's a full disclaimer there. We don't... Hugo, I hear very good things about it.
Yeah.
It might well be fantastic, but I have not seen it.
So I can't vouch
for that one. But from the others, I'm going to go slightly controversial. I'm going to say The Tree of Life, I think, should have won. I thought it was a fantastic film.
You know, pretentious.
Pretentious, yes. Overlong. I think they could have cut bits out of it, no doubt. But the bits that work so well that it still sticks with me, kind of, even now. Some of the other films, you know, Moneyball, The Descendants, they're good films, but nothing really kind of lingers afterwards.
So all films of the year, not just the nominees, what would you say was the best picture?
If I could pick any film, I think Shame was probably the...
Michael Fassbender.
The Tree of Life was a fantastic film. I think Shame is the only film Drive.
Bearing all.
He did bear all. But, and it, you know, it was an incredible performance and it was a brilliant film. But, you know, it was never going to be nominated. A lot of people were angry because it was seen as a snub. But to be honest, since when is such a kind of... It's such an uncompromising film. There's no kind of tinted lens to look through. It's just... It's a portrait of a man kind of in such suffering. And just to take an example... Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. We haven't seen it.
No.
So it might be a great film. I might watch it and I might love it. But from what I've seen, the trailer just makes it look...
The plot.
It's the kind of film where it's so... It seems like such awards bait that it's almost outrageous, you know? And that's the kind of stuff they love. You know, the fact that it's been nominated, all the reviews I've seen say it's not very good.
No.
And yet it's been nominated as one of the...
They've just gone for every trope.
Kid
with learning disabilities. The
single mother,
Tom
struggling.
Hanks being a great father figure and then being killed in
9/11. And it deals with it in a way that is palatable to audiences. You know, it's redemption, it's kind of heroic struggle in the face of harsh odds.
Bringing everyone together, and, you know, he meets all these...
Mm.
I mean, I've only seen the trailer as well, but it looks like he meets a variety of colourful characters.
Yeah, all struggling in their own ways. So this is why, I mean, a shame, I didn't expect it to be nominated, and it hasn't been, and, you know, but and that's just a massive shame. But, you know, but you know, it's just one of those things.
Pun of the week.
Yeah. That'll be our only pun, I imagine.
For me, I thought the best one of the year that I saw was probably Carnage.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which was the one of the four parents in the room discussing.
Yes, yeah, Brian Polanski, yeah.
Yeah. Then, I mean, the budget on that was...
I'd be interested to see. We should check it, yeah.
Apart from paying...
The acting.
Yeah, it was... There was one room.
Yep.
Oh, and they went into the kitchen.
It was quite a nicely furnished room,
yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah, there was some nice stuff.
No, I thought it was a good film. It's an interesting pick, because I've seen people who have... I've met people who have really, really liked it, and then other people who have kind of said, yeah, it's fine, there's nothing special. I thought it was a good film.
I thought it was something special.
Yeah. No, this is why it's interesting, because, I mean, it's just very different to you know, most American films that come out. American is unfair. You know, it's different to most films, you know, in the sense that...
On the same thing, I think that's probably why The Artist is being so... Because that's so different. And
I think it's also because it does it with such kind of confidence and such exuberance. You know, it really kind of... It embraces the silent aspect. It doesn't kind of skirt around it and try to.
Jean Dujardin does pretty well in it.
I think he puts in. I mean, again, it's the kind of thing where he's been nominated for Best Actor. He'll probably win.
Yeah,
does he deserve to win? Was it the best performance of the year? It was a good performance, but it's not. It wasn't hugely challenging, I wouldn't say.
Well, no, it must be difficult to go from having to do everything with no, like, intonation in your voice, not being able to act with that all in the face, isn't it? Which I guess is a different...
Yeah, I know. It was a challenge, but I think... I'm just bitter because Shane didn't get anything again. But, you know, Michael Fassbender's performance in that... You know, whether you think Jean Dujardin is... You know, he deserves to win or not, you can't deny Michael Fassbender put in a fantastic performance.
No.
And I feel like comparing the two...
I think Michael Fassbender probably had a little more riding on it. Going full frontal, yeah, as he did.
But it's just... It's such an incredibly powerful performance. And I think... While, you know, looking at the list, again, disclaimer, haven't seen A Better Life, so can't comment on the lead actor in that. But the other four films, they're all good performances.
Yeah.
I think
Gary Oldman, I didn't see Tinker Tailor.
Oh, did you not?
But I think Gary Oldman is a really brilliant actor that probably deserves to win one. In the same way you were saying about Scorsese.
Yeah, I think the danger with those, the kind of retrospective Oscars though, isn't it, is that there are a lot of people who deserve...
Yeah,
recognition that didn't get it, and you can't kind of. I don't get me wrong. Gary Oldman was a good performance in Tinker Tailor. I think, with all the people on the list, any of them winning it, it wouldn't be a massive outrage for any of the others to have lost.
Well,
I don't think.
Neither of us know.
No, that's true.
Yeah, the others. You know, you could see any of them winning. I'm predicting The Artist getting both.
Yeah, so am I. I think so. I think, as is often the case.
The best film.
You take both, but you know. Actress in a leading role, a bit more difficult to call, I'd say.
I'm predicting Meryl Streep.
You see Meryl Streep?
Because that whole film was pretty much Meryl Streep's
vehicle
to put in an Oscar-winning performance more than anything else.
I mean, yeah, I think I'd say Meryl Streep or Viola Davis. Michelle Williams, I would be very surprised. Rooney Mara, I think she's kind of a bit of a wild card. And Glenn Close, it's not trendy enough a performance. If you see what I mean, it's like, yeah, Meryl Streep, she takes a very controversial British figure.
Yeah.
In a very kind of, who's still controversial now. You know, she puts in a fantastic performance. The film is poor, which means that her performance is just even more kind of commanded by comparison.
Well, I mean, the film was poor, but there was some brilliant performance. The guy who played her late husband.
Oh, Jim Broadbent.
Yeah. He was phenomenal.
I think, you know, I think it's not a bad film as such, but it's clearly built around her, you know, Meryl Streep as Margaret Thatcher. I think if they got another actress...
Yeah. It would have been a completely
Wouldn't have worked. So, I mean, it's definitely a more open thing. Probably Meryl Streep, maybe Viola Davis, I think we're saying.
Right, okay.
So that's enough for the Oscars for now. We'll find out tomorrow and we'll kind of come back with our tails between our legs if we've got it all wrong, or we'll be very smug if we've got it all right. Next thing to say, John Carter. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay.
Is that your point?
This is my point, yes. I'm glad you noticed. I was reading the other day that the tracking figures for John Carter, it's basically a sci-fi fantasy film coming out in a couple of weeks, and the tracking figures for it have been terrible. Apparently, this is apparently so. It's predicted to make an absolutely massive loss, a huge flop. And I just think it's interesting because, you know, we both read about films and stuff, but yeah. I'm probably a little bit more kind of looking around for stuff.
Yeah.
So John Carter has had one of the worst ad campaigns I've ever seen. You haven't even seen a trailer for it, have you? I've seen some
and on the amount of times we've been to the cinema in the last
Yeah, so time. we've been to see about 20 films.
Something like that, yeah.
In the cinema, and we have not seen a single trailer. We've been to see 18s, 15s, 12As, and with the Muppets, a U, and none of them had a John Carter trailer. I've seen them only because on the film website it came up. Yeah, so you know, I found it for myself. I would be extremely surprised if the general public knew or cared about this film. It's predicted to be a huge flop. I hope it isn't, because Andrew Stanton, director of Finding Nemo,
right.
Wall-E, it's his first live-action film. I want him to succeed. I fear it may be a flop. I'm going to go see it. I think it will probably be a good film. It might well be an Avatar situation where people are kind of saying, oh, it's going to flop until it explodes. But
how wrong
I fear it might well
just flop.
I really hope it doesn't. But
speaking of something that is doing quite well, which I'm really pleased is doing quite well, is The Muppets.
Yes, The Muppets. We went to see
that. Jason Segel's funded it almost. Well, he's put a lot in
himself. He certainly pushed it. I don't think it would have been made without him. I don't know how much money. I don't think
he wrote a lot
put
of
money into it, but he co-wrote it, I think. Yeah, it's obviously stars in it.
Yeah, and you know, he's pulled in some of his friends, like Neil Patrick Harris stuff next to
Victory
cameo. And
yeah, so
at least that's done well for him, just to get, because it was, we went to see it last
night.
And it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was, with slightly different opinions on this. I have not seen much of The Muppets before I watched the film. I think I saw Muppet Treasure Island many, many years ago. I didn't have an enormous amount of interest in The Muppets, but kind of their marketing campaign was quite fun, and I thought, you know, I'll give it a shot. The fact that they're trying something so different. We went to see it. You really enjoyed it?
Yeah. Thought it was great. The only thing I was slightly down on was the amount of screen time some of them got. I'd like to see a bit more Gonzo, probably a little more animal, maybe.
I think the problem is when you're kind of introducing the characters to a new generation, as it was, they basically did it with me, because I recognised them, but I didn't really know their personalities or anything. So they were kind of introducing these guys for the first time, in a sense.
And it was self-referential enough, but not too much, and I thought it got that balance really well.
Although I did think that it's quite strange having a film that is so, well, maybe I missed it, but there didn't seem to be much edginess to it, I don't think I noticed any innuendos or anything like that. You know, the stuff that usually is in the kind of modern comedy.
Yeah, always pantomime-esque.
Yeah, just so that you kind of, the adults get something out of it. I mean, I still enjoyed it. I think, in a way, the innocence was almost a gift in itself.
Yeah, well, I think for the adults, just seeing the characters again was probably what they were getting out of it.
That's true.
Because with a lot of the things, they put in the innuendo so the adults who have no interest in the characters still get something. But with the Muppets, they probably know more about Kermit than their kids do.
That's true, actually. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it like that. Yeah. I thought it was fun. I would have liked to have seen a bit more of the kind of... I felt like sometimes it slowed down quite a lot for the kind of heartfelt messages and kind of earnest speeches. I felt I could have done
with
a little
thing of the Muppets.
Oh no! Again, you know, I don't know what the kind of general pattern of it was, but I enjoyed most things like the kind of the kidnap scene and the Chris Cooper rap. Could have done, you know, more of that kind of thing. They were my favourite parts. I didn't think there was enough of it. But no, it was a good film. It was a good film. I enjoyed it.
So it was an excellent reboot for The Muppets.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Would you class it as a reboot?
Well, it's kind of trying to... Well, not so much. It's not
reinventing. It's a reintroduction,
yeah,
in a sense. You know, bringing it back to people. But no, I think reboots, it's an interesting one because you've got Amazing Spider-Man.
That's
very controversial reboot. What would you say is your favourite reboot?
Well, for me, I hate myself for saying it, but the 2008 J.J. Abrams Star Trek? Yeah. Well,
there's just a point that's out to the audience who won't know, but Nick is a enormous Star Trek fan. I wouldn't have thought you'd like the new one.
Well, I mean, I love the series, and I still prefer the series. It was a great film, the 2008 one. It wasn't a good Star Trek film. It was nothing like Kirk.
Yeah.
It spoke how I see Kirk is supposed to be, and back I think.
But so what you're saying is it was good, it was good as a reboot. Yeah. So if it was a continuation, if it was sort of like almost a direct sequel or a prequel, yeah.
Well,
you would think it was bad.
It kind of was technically because it was the same.
It had the same universe,
parallel
yeah.
timeline.
But it's ultimately a reboot.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I've watched it a couple of times now, and it sort of seems to get a little better every time I see it.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Having not watched any Star Trek, I had none of your kind of none of your problems with it. So I thought it was a great film. So
what about you? Where's yours?
I'm afraid I'm going to be quite boring and go. I think Batman Begins. It's one of the most high profile reboots. I think. Yeah.
It wasn't as successful until The Dark Knight.
No, that's true. But I think it built such a solid basis and such a kind of... It set the tone.
Liam Neeson.
You're a massive fan of Liam Neeson. I thought it was a fantastic film and a great reboot. And the way to go about doing a reboot, taking a different approach and really going all out with it.
I would have thought sometimes maybe a little too different. Like, maybe I'd have liked to see... It wouldn't really fit with the tone, but some more like Robin or...
Oh, see, this is where we differ, because I'm very glad they didn't have any of that. So, yeah, I think, it took a direction, it stuck with it, so credit to that. But worst reboot?
Pink Panther, hands down.
That's true. Yeah,
no question, I
can't think of many worse reboots than Pink Panther.
I saw it twice. I don't know why.
I saw it once, and once was very much
I think
enough.
I went to see it at the cinema, and then someone bought it me on DVD, and I felt obliged to at least... the case was amazing. It had like a big felt paw on the front. So I got more enjoyment out of the case than the film.
It lured you into it. Yeah.
I always liked John Renner.
Oh, that's true.
I think it's mainly because he has the same birthday, isn't it?
So, however, I would like to, while we're on the subject of reboots, bring up one of Nick's more controversial opinions at this point. Would you like to tell them?
Casino Royale, and I didn't even bother seeing Quantum Solace, but Daniel Craig is James Bond, and that is sort of almost certainly a reboot, except for Judi Dench didn't get rebooted.
Truly, truly bizarre, but yeah.
But I despised Casino Royale.
We could almost like establish a theme here. If we do like at the end of each podcast, kind of our favourite of something, and then we can have one gratuitously controversial choice.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there'll be many people who agree with you that Casino Royale is a bad film.
It's just... He's not James Bond. There's no women take their shirts off, which is a major downfall in most films. He doesn't have the quips in the same way. He doesn't use the gadgets.
Isn't this in the same way that it's a reboot in the sense that it takes in a different direction? It takes in a more kind of gritty...
Star Trek did it well. Star Trek was enough similar, but not too similar. Whereas James Bond
James Bond, both films are quite... a shady area in terms of reboot, isn't it? Because it's still got Judi Dench and it's very strange. But I mean we'll have to agree to disagree, because I thought that was a great film. Quantum of Solace, it grew on me, but it wasn't nearly good. And I'm very much looking forward to Skyfall with Sam Mendes directing.
I won't be seeing it.
Okay, I'll have to go. I'll find someone else to come with me on that one. That's it for the first episode of the podcast. We'll be back to you after the Oscars to
discuss
whether
we
thought
were right.
Or more likely, how we were wrong.